Thank you very much indeed. It is great to be back. I think this is my fourth visit to HDBB, it is a great privilege to be here. The first time I came was actually the first lecture I gave at SPTC, and then I was able to come back and be present for the graduation ceremony as well. So that was a little extra, which was a great highlight for me. It is a real privilege to be here. And I don't feel it's at all stopping on the way back home. It's a visit in its own right. I love KL, I love Malaysia, and I love you. It is great to be here. Today I want to talk on this theme of Palm Sunday. In a moment I'm going to read the passage that tells a story in Matthew's Gospel of Palm Sunday. But first I thought I'd introduce my family to you so you just kind of get the feel of us. So this is my family. There's a picture coming up, I think. Yeah, there we go. So my wife, Louie, and then we have three children. Zoe is engaged to Cammy, who's on the right there, and then Barney, and then Toby. And this is Murphy, our dog. Murphy is big in this picture, and really he's kind of living up to his name. He's like a baby in our family, where he just takes up so much. He makes his presence known, shall we say. So he's great fun. He's a Sprocker, which is a combination of a Springer Spaniel and a Cocker Spaniel. Springers have like a screw loose in their heads, and Cockers have a screw loose in their heads. So a Sprocker, which is a combination of both, think multiplication. So that's him. So without further ado, I'd love to read from Matthew chapter 21. And verses 1 to 11. This is the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. As they, that's the disciples and Jesus, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road too. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for these powerful words. Thank you for the scriptures, the very words of God. And we pray that you would speak to us today, speak into our situations, into our lives, into the places that you've called us to be. We pray we might be transformed and changed because you've spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey with crowds behind him and in front of him. They've thrown their clothes, their cloaks, their coats on the ground for this smelly donkey to walk on. If you know donkeys, they're kind of not just walking with kind of dirty feet. There's stuff coming out the back as well. And he's walking along, and people have cut down branches, and they've strewn them onto the ground. They're waving them around. And this crowd is shouting and celebrating. This crowd probably knows Jesus. They've seen his works. There was a pilgrimage to Jerusalem because they were coming for the Passover. And Passover was that moment in the calendar of the Jewish people where they remembered a deliverance 1,300 years ago before, when God had rescued them from the oppressive rule of the Egyptians. He had through just miraculous signs and wonders, he had enabled them to escape the clutches of the Egyptian oppressors. And every year on Passover, they remembered this deliverance. And so this moment has so much meaning for everyone. And as they cheer, as these crowds come forward, they declare these words, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, we just think, well, we sing these songs, we can try and, you know, there's a general sense of, okay, this is amazing. He's related to, you know, some kind of line of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But for the people there, this was kind of full of meaning, full of significance. They were under, 1,300 years later, after that deliverance, they were under an oppressive Roman rule, where people were forced to obey Roman laws and rules. And yet God was doing something new in the person of Jesus. They saw, they didn't know fully who he was, but they'd seen glimpses of something more. And as they say these words, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they're describing things that for them meant this is a significant moment. Jesus might be the person who's going to deliver us from this oppressive Roman rule. But actually, we've got the foresight, really, or the hindsight to be able to say, actually, we see what happens next. We know that there's going to be Good Friday. We know that Jesus is going to die on a cross, executed. Not what people were expecting. But then to be raised up again on Easter Sunday, the resurrection that no one was expecting. And that shines a whole new light on what these words mean. So the people in Jerusalem, the crowds coming, they'd seen Jesus doing all these amazing miracles and this extraordinary teaching, and they were saying, you know, this is an amazing person. The crowds in Jerusalem are going, who is this? Who is this person? Why are you celebrating? And that's a good question. Who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So already they're using messianic language, that Messiah, the chosen one, the one who would be a deliverer for them. And they were saying, is Jesus the one who's going to deliver us from this oppression? So I think for us, the question is, who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? Was he just a prophet? Was he someone who was going to deliver them from the oppressive rule of the Romans? What does all this mean? Well, crowds proclaimed Hosanna. Hosanna means God saves. So straight away they're thinking, God's going to save us. He's going to save us from these cruel Romans. But Jesus says there's so much more with this. They were giving Jesus a title. They were saying, he is the one who saves. And whilst they were expecting a deliverer from their circumstances, actually they were getting something so much more. They were going to be delivered from themselves, from all that separates us from God, all that hinders our relationship with God, the sins, the things that get in the way, where we've the practices we've done which are wrong, the relationships that we spoil, the thoughts even that we have mean that we cannot stand before God in a way that's good enough for him. We're not able to be pure enough for him. We're not able to be holy enough for God. We can never stand before God on our own merits. And if we are to stand before God, we need someone else to help us. We need someone else to take away all that hinders us from our relationship with him. And Jesus came not just to live a life pointing towards God. He came to die. He knew what he was doing coming into Jerusalem. He came to die on a cross for us. Because on the cross, he removes our sins. He clears the way for a clean and open relationship with God. We're all sinners in need of a savior. When the crowd said Hosanna, they were getting so much more than just deliverance from Romans. They were getting deliverance from the things that stop us from engaging with God. There's a church I'm responsible for in London called St. Mary Woolnoth. It's a church where John Newton was the vicar of the church, the clergyman of the church. John Newton was a slave captain, slave ship captain. He was commanding a ship that took slaves from African colonies, took them over to the Caribbean, sold them, and then taking on other produce, they'd bring that back to England and the money from selling those slaves. And there was a triangle of slavery that was going on that he was a part of. And one day he was caught up in a storm off the coast of Ireland, and he cried out to God. He knew that it was one that they wouldn't be able to get away from, that they were in desperate need. And he cried out to God and said, God, save me. And through extraordinary circumstance, he found himself coming into the north of Ireland to safety. And in that place, a place called Buncrana in Northern Ireland, he came ashore and he gave his life to God. He started to follow Jesus himself. And over time, he began to see, it wasn't straight away, he began to see that his life as a slave ship captain was evil. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And he stopped that, and he turns and went in the opposite direction. He became part of the movement that was trying to abolish slavery in England. And he ended up as a clergyman, and he preached a lot about deliverance from evil that we need to be stepping into that place of saying no to evil ourselves. And he wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was a description of his own story of coming to faith in Jesus and seeing God for who he really is. That God was a savior who would even save a wretch like him. The extraordinary thing about this church is that, 200 years later, a friend of mine, Wale Agbaje, he'd planted a church in Leicester, and he came to London, and he said to me, would it be possible to have a small group meeting in the church? And I said, yes, of course. It wasn't being used for worship, it was just an office. And so he started a small group, and that began to multiply and multiply and multiply. And now it is a church where the majority are from African descent, black African descent. And this extraordinary kind of miracle, really, of God, that he should have a church that's now led. So there are 400 people in the church. In January, they did 21 days of fasting and prayer. 21 people the following Sunday were baptized. They'd come to faith. And this is a church that is thriving, being led by someone of Nigerian descent. And it's just a fantastic, I love it, the kind of sense of humor of God, that he should do that in that place. This is the place where Jesus saves. Jesus is the savior of the world, and he transforms lives. When the people of Jerusalem asked, who is this? The crowds of followers of Jesus said, Hosanna, God saves. This is Jesus, the savior of the world, and he can save you from your sins. Jesus can heal you of your diseases. He can set you free from addictions. He can wash you clean of guilt and shame. He can transform your circumstances. He's the savior, and you can receive him. If there's someone here today who has not received Jesus, has not experienced the forgiveness of sins, you can receive him today. The crowds following Jesus proclaimed, Hosanna, and then they said, to the Son of David. Son of David, what does that mean? Well, David was a king 900 years before this moment, king of Israel. And he was like the archetypal king. All the kings that proceeded after David were compared with David's rule. and David's character and David's kingship. And God had promised King David in a prophecy that his throne would be established forever. Now, when you look through history, you see actually that the kingdom, kings strayed away from God. And actually, at one point, there's an exile where the whole people of God are taken to Babylon. So this line seems to have been broken. But God's promises are always true. Jesus was actually descended from David in like a bloodline. But this title, Son of David, is like a messianic title. It's saying this person, if you're a son of David, the son of David, you are the one who's going to follow in this line of prophecy where, you know, you will be you will occupy the throne of God forever. So they were looking for a messianic king. And again, they got so much more than they were expecting. They were thinking maybe this is Jesus who's going to appear on a war horse that's going to deliver with the sword. But no, he wears a different kind of crown. This theme this week, a crown of thorns is his crown. When he was executed on a Roman cross, this was the place where he was exercising his kingship, his true kingship. It would be a completely different kind of kingdom, and his throne in heaven now, after he was raised from the dead. Jesus rides on that donkey prophesied in Zechariah. That was, again, hundreds of years before. Rejoice greatly, shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was the opposite to what they were expecting. Righteous and victorious, yes. But lowly, no. It's an upside-down kingdom, an upside-down king. So when the crowds are saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they're saying, actually, this person is the king. He's some kind of king to us. But little did they realize that in hindsight, we see that he was the king of kings. They were to discover that his kingdom was very different to the one that they were expecting. God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. It's like a counter-cultural kingdom. You know, where so much more is going on within this. You know, in an upside-down kingdom where Jesus is king, its citizens love their enemies. They forgive their debtors. When they're struck, they turn the other cheek. Where the despised and lowly are raised up. Where those on the margins are welcomed and loved and given a place of honor. Where those who follow him live very differently to the ways and practices of the culture around us. There's a woman called Bernice Hardy who has an adult daughter with Down syndrome. And they love church. They love going to their church in North London. But one of the things they found just over time was it's just quite difficult to engage completely. People were unsure how to treat them, treat her daughter with Downs. And so they longed for a place where they could just be themselves, where her daughter was treated like everyone else. It wasn't that they were bad, but it was like, you know, it needed a different kind of space. And so she, with some other friends who had children or relatives with disabilities, they got together and formed another church community called WAVE. We're all valued equally, WAVE. We're all valued equally. And they started to have a service on a monthly basis. And they found it really easy to invite other people with mental or physical disabilities. And it's a beautiful church. A friend of mine who is and now quite severely suffering with MS. He was one of their preachers. And it would be quite difficult to preach with his deteriorating voice in a church like this. But actually in that church, there was a patience, there was an understanding of going the extra mile to listen to someone who's a great preacher, but a challenge to listen to. It's a beautiful space where where people on the edges, people who society might treat uncomfortably, actually they are valued and made a special and precious in that space. Bernice said to me, I remember a couple of years ago, I'd love other people to be able to have these services for those people so that they can feel welcome too. And she has now multiplied WAVE five times. There are five other locations in London and across England where these services are going, and they're going to continue, I think, to grow and expand. In a world where, for example, people with disabilities are pushed to the side, in God's kingdom, they're given a place of honor. It's an upside-down kingdom. And I think the encouragement here is, are you prepared to serve Jesus, the King, as a citizen of this upside-down kingdom, where we bring justice and mercy? We are prepared to live counterculturally. We're prepared to step over some cultural boundaries to love and prefer and give grace and mercy and generosity. Hosanna to the Son of David. The third thing we see is that the crowds cried out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Great to sing those words this morning. And they were saying that Jesus was sent by the Lord. He was sent by God, and that he is blessed. He is worthy of praise. They discovered that Jesus somehow was sent by God. They put it in these words, that he was a prophet from God. They knew that he was special. But actually, he was so much more than that, as they discovered later. And when he comes in the name of God, he brings the blessings of God. He is good news. The people had experienced healing and forgiveness and transformation in his presence. He loves us perfectly. He welcomes us as friends. He gives us purpose. Our future is safe in his hands. He is good news. That's why we proclaim Jesus to the people around us. That's why we invite people to Alpha. That's why you might be able to invite people to some of the services this Holy Week. It's why we plant churches, so that everyone might have the chance to hear the good news about Jesus and respond to him in their own way, of their own volition, to discover that the good news is for them too, as they acknowledge God's lordship in their lives. Three quick examples. St. Catherine Cree is a church that was planted into by a guy called Josh Harris. He discovered there were lots of hidden workers in the city of London who worked in the small hours of the morning cleaning the offices. And there was no chance really for them to go to church, because they often have two jobs and they go from one to the other, and they're just exhausted by the end of the day and the weekend. And so he started a church for hidden workers when they finished their shift, like 6 o'clock in the morning. And those who are on the edges, who are ignored or even unseen, are given a special place where they can worship and are ministered to. They're discovering that Jesus is good news for them. A church that we planted in East London, St. Luke's Millwall, with Ed and Fuzz Dix, they went with a team of 25 people from our church to Millwall, which is just underneath Canary Wharf, one of the central business districts there. And Fuzz runs a ministry called Kids Matter that she helps to start. It helps single parents or parents where one of them is in prison, to help them to look after their children and to invest in their children, to create strong relationships and strong families. Those people who would be pushed aside in society are experiencing the good news of Jesus transforming their lives. Another one, Emma Miles, who lived on the West Hill Estate in Bridlington in the north of England. She is someone whose family, well, her life was a mess. Broken family. She was she experienced addictions as she was totally lost in her life. And she found herself in Christchurch, Bridlington. And there she heard the gospel preached, and she became a Christian. that church restored her and helped her to grow in herself and to find healing and transformation. And as she was belonging to the church, she felt a call to go back to her estate and to love the people on that estate. And she started a food bank called Restore. That began to raise questions in people's minds as they saw her and they said, what is this all about? And she invited them to start a Bible study and with her, and she started to do that. As that grew, that Bible study became a church. It's called Restore Hope Hub. And she's not ordained. She's kind of untrained. She's overseen by the vicar of Christchurch Bridlington, but she is basically running a church of 30 people in a community hall on that estate. And one person said this about her who came to the church: I'm here because I saw the change that Jesus did in her life. If Jesus can help her, he can help me. You know, Emma could have gone anywhere, but she chose to go back to the community that she came from to be good news and to share good news with those around her. And she ended up starting a church, something that she wasn't expecting. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds were saying, perhaps without even realizing it, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Hosanna. He is the King of Kings, the Son of David. And he is the embodiment of good news. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, to receive him and to play your part in his kingdom, we need his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus within us. We can receive him. If you haven't received him, you can receive him today by his Holy Spirit. But he also empowers us to live the kind of life that is what it means to be a citizen of his kingdom, to be those who have the courage to share our lives with others, to have the courage to break down those cultural barriers and boundaries, to cross them and extend the hand of love and grace, to be good news in our families, in our workplaces, in our colleges and universities, in the places that God has called us to be. The invitation on Palm Sunday with the crowds is to respond to that question that the people of Jerusalem had. Who is this? He is the one who saves me. He is my king. He is good news for me that I need to give away.